Morning, everybody. Bit chilly this morning. Story about the Crusades. And as the soldiers went across Europe, the stories of the Crusaders getting saved and meeting Jesus. And a lot of them got baptized. And what became a trend was that when the soldiers were baptized, they all went under the water except for their sword hand. And they'd hold their sword and their sword hand out of the sword and sword hand. It's amazing how a broken finger can make your tongue not work. The sword and sword hand out of the water because that was the weapon they used. And we look at it and go, oh, really? If you're being baptized, you go under because you give your whole self to Jesus, don't you? Don't you? Yeah, thank you. But what they were saying was that Jesus can have most of me. We sort of look at it and go, can't do that. And yet I think there's elements that we actually do that ourselves. That we, in our minds, we say, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Jesus? I think there's this gap between being a follower and being a fan. There's a guy named... Kyle Idleman. He wrote a book, and the book was called Not a Fan. And in it, he said, one of the symptoms of a fan is that you think you're a follower. We have all kinds of funny ways to measure our relationship with God. We have things that we point to as evidence, like the fact that there's a fish on our bumper, or people will talk about the fact that grandparents went to church, or that their ringtone on their phone might be a worship song, or they have more than four Bibles in their house. We have this way of saying, well, this is what makes us a Christian. But the thing is that are we Christians, are we followers, or are we fans of Jesus? Because if we look in our society, a lot of people would claim and say that they're Christian. And a part of that is to say, well, I'm not Buddhist and I'm not Hindu and I'm not, so therefore I must be Christian. Part of their identity. For many people, they see some of the things that Jesus said, some of the things Jesus did and said, they're good things. And a part of their processing is that they are a fan of Jesus. They're saying, this guy is a good guy. But the separation is are they a follower or are they a fan? And the question for you is, are you a follower or are you a fan? Because I think the difference is in our discipleship. Am I a disciple of Jesus? Am I desiring and passionately pursuing, following and becoming more and more like Jesus every day? Is that who I am? Is that what my goal is? Because we're called to be disciples. We're doing a series on spiritual disciplines. We're up to week 13. And we're talking about discipleship. Are you a disciple? Do you believe in discipling? Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. To be a disciple, we follow Jesus. We become more like him. We chase after him. If we're genuinely trusting Christ, we will follow him. But if we're not following him, it means we don't trust him. Similarly, if we know the gospel, we'll strive to walk in the way that is worthy of the gospel. If the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we'll walk in the Spirit. If we are united to Christ, we'll bear fruit in Christ. If we love Christ, we will obey Christ. If we are justified by faith and faith alone, our faith will not remain alone, but will result in a life of faith, repentance, and good works, which Christ prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If we're genuinely trusting Christ, we'll follow him. But if we're not following him, then are we really trusting him? There's a story years ago about an elderly man who was driving late at night and got a bit confused. And in his confusion, he went onto the wrong side of the freeway. So he's in the left lane, but on the wrong side of the freeway. And he was driving along. Thankfully, it was late at night. There was no one else around. People rang it in. The police came out. They stopped him, and he was safe. And that's good. But there's times where we're journeying through life thinking everything's great, everything's fine, no one on the road, it's all good. And just around the corner, life is coming at us. There's a time that we need people to be able to say, mate, you're on the wrong side of the road. You're going the wrong way. Part of discipleship is encountering or walking in a relationship with others who are ahead of us on this road, saying this is where we should be going. This is what's around the corner. This is what's in front of us. How do we remain safe in this, and how do we keep others safe around us? Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What can anyone give in exchange for your soul? For us to be a disciple, we need to deny everything and take up our cross. We need to not hold our hand above the waters of baptism, but we need to go fully under and give Jesus everything. Jesus is calling us to be wholly his, to be transformed by him. Now, I don't know if you get emails and stuff about terms and conditions. I don't know if your phone updates and says, do you accept the terms and conditions? Who just ticks the boxes and moves on? Who knows that Google owns you? Jesus doesn't do hidden terms and conditions. Jesus doesn't put all of the what's going to happen in the fine print and hide it. Jesus is very upfront. He says, if you want to follow me, there's going to be trauma, there's going to be difficulties ahead. There's going to be tough decisions ahead. There's going to be sacrifices ahead. You want to walk with me? There's going to be things you don't like. Jesus doesn't have the fine print. Jesus is up front. Jesus is not good at marketing. He's not good at PR. So what do we do as the church? We sit down and we say, if you become a Christian, everything is beautiful. Life smells like roses. It's a fragrant garden of happiness. You're a princess and you'll find your princessness. That's what attracted me. In our gospelness, we say, this is what's going to happen. Everything is going to be lovely. It's amazing. And Jesus, when talking about what it means to be a follower, said, yeah, it's going to be tough. There's going to be hard days. But you know what? I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll work through this with you. And together we'll get through this and we'll be better people. Discipleship is about walking with Jesus in life to become more and more like Jesus. Jesus was on a mission. And Jesus' mission was to make disciples. When we look through the Gospels, what he talks about and what he models and what he exemplifies is a discipleship process. He had his 12 disciples. He had hundreds more around him. He spoke to people about discipleship messages. He talks about how to become more and more like him. Our purpose in life is to be his disciple. Our purpose in life is to also make disciples. I want you just to have a quick think. Who are the people that have impacted you most in your Christian walk? Sadly, there's not enough of them, are there? I look back at my life and go, there's very few people who have discipled me. And that's a disappointment. Not in my life. It's a disappointment in that as Christians, as the church, we're not enabling people to become more like Jesus. We're not walking with them and helping them to know Jesus more. Matthew 28, 18 and 20, as Michael read out, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus' call to us was to make disciples, to spend time with people, to encourage them and empower them to be more like Jesus. And it's not something we've done very well. So what is discipleship? Discipleship is teaching biblical concepts while modeling and guiding others toward living righteously as followers of Jesus Christ. What we're doing is to help people to become more like Jesus, to model that, to teach that, to help people to learn that. A journey of relationship with other people. As we become more like Jesus, we're helping others to become more like Jesus. And the concept and the act of discipleship isn't a one-level space. It's not a Jesus is discipling me, that's nice. It's not someone is discipling me, that's nice. But it's I am being discipled so that I can disciple others so that others can be discipled. It's a process that every Christian should be a part of. Each and every one of us should be in the process of discipleship. Because it's in those relationships where we become more and more like Jesus. You know, people have no problem with being coached in sport. You know, if you've got a kid growing up and they're good at soccer, it's like, well, let's get you coached. Let's get you on a good team. Let's help you to learn how to do it. 4 years to learn how to kick a ball? Excellent. 4 days, weeks, months to become a disciple? Ugh, don't have the time. It's too hard. It's not for me. Have you ever seen a kid learning to walk? Great value giggling and laughing. You know, they're not very good at it. But to get a kid to walk, do you just sit them in a room and go, yeah, one day they'll get there, that'll be all right? No, you've got to have someone there saying, you can do it, you fell over, you're okay, you landed on your nappy, doesn't hurt, you got lots of baby fat on your bottom. You encourage them, do it again, it's okay, you can get there, you can do it. You ever taught a kid how to be potty trained? You'd like that to be natural, wouldn't you? There's a process of teaching. Can you imagine if you've got a little kid, a little girl growing up, and you decide that she can teach herself kindy to year 12 education, she'll be fine. It's ridiculous, isn't it? We sit down and look at all of our life and go, there's elements where we need to disciple and teach and train those around us, particularly with kids. And then we look at your Christian and you go, you're a Christian now. Noish! And that's it. Where is the discipleship? Where are we as Christians, as the church, caring for those who are coming in amongst us? Where is our care for people to be able to say, how can we help you to fulfill what God wants in your life? I think it'd be fair to say that our discipleship model is kind of broken, wouldn't you say? And that's a part of it is because we have misunderstandings of what discipleship is. And some of those misunderstandings are that we equate discipleship with religious knowledge. What we say is that if you learn the Bible and to meditate on the Bible and you just learn more and you have more podcasts and you have more teaching, you'll get it right. Now, don't hear me that that's bad. It's not bad. It is really, really good. But that's not all. If we focus just on Bible teaching, we're almost not even discipling a person. We're kind of just saying, go learn for yourself and go work it out for yourself. Romans 8:29 says a Christ-like transformation is to be conformed to the image of his son so that we would be the firstborn among many brothers. Learning the Bible is good. We need to do that. We need to understand what the Bible is. But we also need to understand how to apply it to our lives. If we're not applying the Bible, it's just academic. One of my frustrations with Bible college is that they teach the Bible, but they don't always teach how to apply it. Some of the best classes I had in college was field ed. And in field education, they'll supervise field ed because they supervise students. So we did things which we ordinarily wouldn't do, and we processed it and wrote, how do we feel and what does that mean? We went to a cemetery. We went to the back of the crematorium. We saw how the crematorium works, amongst many other things. To be able to say that you need to know your Bible, yes, but there's other stuff we need to learn and we need to do. Discipleship is about how to be more like Jesus. It's more than just academic. It's more than just learning. Are you hearing me that the Bible's important? But there's more than that as well. We as the church try to program discipleship. We decide that if we want to make disciples, then we have discipleship programs, and we put programs in place for this, and we have this, and we have this. We have a 3-week or 6-week program that you'll become a disciple. I'm pretty sure that doesn't cut it. When Jesus is talking about making disciples, the word implies something different to discipleship programs, doesn't it? Making disciples is a relationship. It's a journey with people. It's connecting with people. It's investing in people. Far more than just a program does. Is a program wrong? No. But if it's just a program, then we're missing the point. We equate discipleship with going to church. I, as a pastor, would love discipleship to be thoroughly important and everyone comes to church, but that's not the way it works. Church is a part of discipleship, but it's not discipleship. We need to be encouraging and empowering people to understand what it means to walk in their spirituality, to walk in as a Christian person, to be able to process and apply what's happening. Not everything about our Christian walk is in every single message. Of course, most of them are with me, but it's not. How do we journey with Jesus is far more than coming to a church service once a week or once a month. Discipleship is about a journey with people. It's about connecting with them. And we think that we will grow without effort. A part of us wants to believe that just being a Christian, I'll become more like Jesus. It just happens. That's the way it is, isn't it? Isn't that the way it happens with everyone? Just miraculously change and become better and more pure. And it takes work. It takes effort. And if we want something, we need to work towards it. And one of the issues I think we have with discipleship is that we don't ask each other spiritual questions. We're a little bit afraid of asking spiritual questions. We need to be more unapologetic and to encourage people to get grounded in their faith, to be consistent in the world, in the word, to be in a small group with others. We need to be really unapologetic in asking people how their faith is, how their Bible reading's going, how they're walking with Jesus, what Jesus is revealing to them. Discipleship is the mission and the purpose of the church. Discipleship is who we are. When Jesus is defining missions, missions is a form of discipleship. Each and every one of us is called to mission and to be disciples, to be called to discipleship. We're called to discipling others and to helping others to become more and more like Jesus. Luke 12:48 says, to whom much is given, much is required. God has given us so much, and God is asking us to give so much to others. So how do we do it? Well, discipleship isn't one pathway. It's not a steady thing of saying this is step one, step two, step three, because discipleship looks differently to each and every person. If we look through the Bible, in Titus 2, older women are to train younger women. 2 Timothy 2, Paul trained Timothy to train others to train others. Ephesians 6, fathers are to train their children. Matthew 28, missionaries are to teach nations everything Jesus commanded. Hebrews 3, all Christians are to exhort each other every day to avoid sin and to stir each other up to love and good works. 1 Peter 4, all Christians are to use their gifts to serve others. Acts 18, 24, Priscilla and Aquila, on the spur of the moment, explain the way of God more accurately to Apollos. And it goes on and on and on. I think Jesus is saying that discipleship isn't a prescribed program. Discipleship is a journey, a lifestyle, a commitment, a relationship with each of us, with others, to help them to become more and more like Jesus. Jesus made disciples by spending and observing potential disciples. He saw people that were keen to get on with God, keen to not just be sitting down and treating life as normal, but he made people that made choices to be different, to step out and explore who God is. And Jesus took these people and transformed them. Discipleship naturally happens from a group of people hanging out and growing together. Let's not formulate it. Let's just do it. Let's just find ways of meeting with people, of journeying with them, of loving them. A key part of discipleship is loving disciples. We are called as Christians to love each other, to be in community. And a part of community is saying, how can we be more like Jesus, the goal of our lives? Jesus calls the disciples out and he spends time, so much time with his disciples, explaining life, explaining what he's doing, explaining who he is, and putting in steps for them to be able to explore and experience God in their own way. Community is so important to discipleship. We need to be in a place of God's community. We need to be within the parameters of God's people to be able to learn from each other and to explore what it is to become more and more like Jesus. Before we take a program, we need to be in relationship. Jesus commanded us to make disciples, but he also commanded us to be disciples. As we heard Jesus' words, go and make disciples. We are who we are because of the discipleship around us, even if it's not very good. The call on our life is to be disciples to others. How are you going to connect with someone else? Who is around you who could benefit from your experience, your encouragement? How can you help someone else to become more and more like Jesus? So here it is. Discipleship is not rocket science. It's not about programs. It's not complicated. Follow Jesus. Let him change your heart and your life and bring others along with you. Discipleship doesn't have to be awkward and stiff. It's not that you need to be super qualified. Discipleship is something that Jesus has asked us to be and to do. So the challenge is, invite someone to join with you whenever you're doing whatever you're doing. Invite someone to hang out, to learn, to connect, and not to be afraid about asking some harder questions. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that we don't have to live life on our own. Thank you that you don't just say, get on with it, good luck, hope it works out. But Father, you walk with us and you put others around us to be encouraged and empowered to become more like you. Father, help us to not just be willing to walk with others, but help us to be encouraged and strengthened and desire to walk with others. Father, you are our God. Father, we are your people. And as disciples, we want to follow you and become more like you. Jesus, we need your strength. We need your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.